Recording live from the Hoban Law Group here in Denver, Colorado, I'm your host, Eric Singular. We're sitting alongside president and founder of the Hoban Law Group, Bob Hoban. Today we are talking about creating your own Corona story, and we are joined by Hoban Law Group partner, Donnie Emmy. Donnie, thank you for being here with us.
Thank you, Eric. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here with you.
And tell us, Donnie, how have things been for you in the last weeks and month of coronavirus?
Well, I'll approach that from two directions. You know, there's the personal aspect and there's the professional aspect. And I'll say from the personal aspect, this has been a real exciting time, both from a worldwide tragedy standpoint, but also from a personal personal reflection perspective. You know, I've spent a lot more time with my family. I've been able to take a step back from my business and look at things from different angles and have the time to add more perspective to something. So personally, it's been great. From a business perspective, it's been busy. And this is this should be an incredibly busy time for businesses out there in the cannabis space. It's exciting to be known that cannabis operations are considered essential businesses in most states. And this is an opportunity to take advantage of relationship building, business building, strategic partnerships, acquisitions. And so professionally, this has been one of the most exciting dynamic times for me. A lot going on in the world and a lot to be grateful for, but also a lot of opportunity to take advantage of.
Yeah, that's ultimately the way I look at it. As long as you can, lend a hand where you can, do what you do and do it well, and take care of friends and family at this point in time. A lot of that is reflection, and that's an important thing that's ultimately going to help shape how we all come out of this. But, you know, they say in times of great economic stress, the legal profession sees an uptick in litigation because people generally speaking, when things are going very well economically, business wise, they tend to let bygones be bygones. But what you can potentially obtain out of a lawsuit becomes more relevant, more in your face during times of like this. So, Donnie, have you seen, more banter, generally speaking, in terms of client activity or potential consults around litigation type topics?
Yes, absolutely. And in some instances, it's sad to say, litigation is often and should often be used as a last resort tool. In some cases, there's strategic business opportunities there. But when times are good and when the money is good and the opportunities are good, partners get along well, businesses interact well, and when the chips go down, oftentimes there's finger pointing. That leads to litigation, and I guess it's incumbent upon us to try to stay out in front of that on the litigation side, to be ready for it, but also be ready when it happens and to be able to protect or in some cases prosecute some of these matters. But that's one of those things that litigation is recession proof, but it doesn't solve all problems. And so it's a good idea to keep be ready for it and be prepared for it, but also try to mitigate it where you can as well and get ahead of it and not let things fester to the point of drawing litigation or drawing swords. And because once everybody brings out the guns and start pointing them at each other, then and so oftentimes it's somebody that gets hurt.
A lot of the time as we sit back and look at what we need to do to help our clients, to help businesses succeed in a more difficult environment, that is going to require now more collaboration, more joint ventures, mergers, strategic partnerships, and the like. How can you look at those as opportunities? How do you counsel clients that sort of don't know that that's almost thrust upon them right now?
So, you know, that's a really good point. And this is that world where strategic partnerships matter. I can give you just by way of an example of a client I was working with earlier today. They had secured funding. They were they are a larger marijuana establishment. They were going to create their business from seed to sale with significant capital, and they still have that capital. But one of the opportunities that's been presented recently is we have businesses that are struggling right now. And for example, in this particular case I'm talking about, we were able to forge a strategic partnership with a fulfillment center in a manufacturing center and a digital marketing company. All three of those companies were really solid companies, good business models, just weren't ready for this new environment, didn't have the time established, the revenue established to be able to survive long term. And we were able to bring those four groups of people together, and so the marijuana company is now able to get to the market faster. They have an experienced digital marketing team. They're not building it from the ground up, and they probably ultimately will end up saving millions of dollars, if not $10 million, in terms of time and economic loss, opportunity loss. So it's causing people to look to their neighbors, look to their colleagues and their professional affiliations to say, hey, you know, I've got this, you've got this, how do we figure out a way to work together? And by the way, we might even build a bigger, stronger, more robust business than we would have when we were when we weren't forced to talk to each other and forced to sit at the same table and try to collaborate on a bigger, better idea. So I'm seeing a lot of opportunity come from this, and I'm seeing a lot of the people that are willing to reach out to their colleagues and their professional associates and try to create opportunities to do business. And I think there's going to be some really strong, incredible businesses that come out and do well months from now and on the other side of this.
No, Don, that's really, really well said. And you know, you need to foster relationships and take opportunities and build upon them. You know, by way of news or current events, we saw very recently in the last week to 10 days, GW Pharma, their drug Epidiolex was removed as a scheduled substance from Schedule 5. And of course, the cannabinoid present in Epidiolex is CBD. And there's a lot of impact potentially that flows from this descheduling a drug formulation that is based upon a cannabinoid in high concentration. I believe it's suspended in a form of a vegetable oil. So it's not that far off from the supplements that are sold over the table. And my point is this. Do you think that descheduling sort of leads to opening more competition, which leads to more IP protection? Because we've seen some IP-related activity, and this might accelerate that.
So I do see that. I do see a great deal of IP protection issues coming up. And as you're aware, I'm litigating. I'm lead counsel on the litigation with United Cannabis on behalf of our client, Pure Hemp Collective, which is what we understand to be the world's first cannabis-based litigation matter outside of some minor one in Germany in the early 20th century. Intellectual property is going to be something that people are going to have to pay attention to because they haven't. And they haven't because sometimes the opportunities weren't there, the law didn't support it, or there was a glutton of misinformation on what constitutes intellectual property or what can be protected as it corresponds with the federal laws. I see a great deal of IP litigation. I see a great deal of IP disputes, but I also see opportunity right now for people to take advantage of this this hiatus to secure their intellectual property, to shore up their corporation, their corporate business documents, to shore up their employment matters, to kind of reconcile everything that they've been putting on the back burner and have had an idea to do, but haven't had the time to do it because they're busy running around to meetings and doing everything else that their life compelled them to do. But I see a great deal of IP disputes, but disputes that can be mitigated if we get ahead of them on the front end and start protecting that property. And I know that in terms of litigation, I've litigated last year. We wrapped up a litigation where there was over $300 million in intellectual property value disputed that could have, with proper guidance on the front end, the client could have protected that and avoided that lawsuit altogether, which set them back in years of advancing their corporation, but also set them back to the tune of almost seven figures in legal expenses on both sides of that transaction.
Whew. That's no joke. Donnie, creating your own Corona story. I love this topic. And, you know, this is simply it's a worldwide event. Everybody will have a story around coronavirus and how they were impacted. And I'm wondering, you know, what does it mean to you? What does that phrase, creating your own Corona story, taking advantage of this time, the pause, like you're saying, we're not traveling, we're not burdened with all of the things that we were maybe just a month or so ago. So tell me a little bit more about what that means to you.
Well, that's somewhat of a phrase that I don't know that if I coined it or not, but I said it. But I said it in a meeting, and it came naturally, and it was part of a meeting. I was a group of all directors for a corporation, and I'm listening to one by one, their chief legal officer, internal legal counsel, said, saying, well, this is the time where we need to tighten our belt, which I agree with. There's an opportunity to tighten your belt here and make sure that you're not spending frivolously, but it's not an opportunity to get into your shell. And what I said in response to that, I respectfully disagree. This is your opportunity to create your own Corona story, and you're going to have this conversation with your children, your children's children, work colleagues, and it's going to happen for decades. It's the same conversation that people still have about what they felt and what they lived through on September 11th. We all remember where we were, what we were doing when that happened. We all have our story. This Corona virus situation is definitely more impactful to the world. But we will all leave this next month or this next couple of months with what we did. And you have two choices. I did nothing. I watched TV. I gained weight. I focused on the sad things in the world and the terrible things in the world. Or I used this time to find opportunity to help people to forge relationships, to forge new opportunities. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's opportunity here. It's not inappropriate to, you could be sad and you could be disappointed for what's going on in the world, and you could help out in your way, but there's nothing wrong with taking advantage of opportunity and capitalizing on opportunity to do good things and to build better businesses. This isn't a time to shrink into your shell and talk about woe is me and the world is bad. This is an opportunity to build bigger and better things, to advance whatever it is that is your thing. It's an opportunity to make that better. I've said that a couple of times on calls, and I think the message gets across. This is your story. You get to tell this story in a few years. What is it going to be?
That's an important message, and I think it's easy for people to, as you say, go into their shell in a time like this, but there is so much value in expanding, looking for those opportunities. You know, the other thing that comes to mind, especially with all your experience as a business counsel, is that the strategy that a company might have been following just 2 months ago it doesn't hold any bearing now. So much has changed. What would you say about, you know, business owners and companies who are having to pivot their strategy quickly? Where should they be looking? What should they be thinking about?
Well, that's a difficult question because it would relate specifically to what it is you're doing. But what I would be doing, what I would advise just about any company as a general advice to do is think about areas where you can cut cost. Think about the expenses that you need and the expenses that you don't need. The expenses you don't need, it's time to move on from them for now. Revisit them in 6 months, revisit them in 3 months, whatever it is. Build contingencies for events like this in the future. I'll be the first to admit I wasn't ready for this event. I'm ready for it now. You have to be flexible. And in every business, no matter what it is, whether it's the marijuana business or whether it's the hemp side of the cannabis business, you have to be flexible. You have to be ready to adapt to the FDA. You have to be ready to adapt to the federal government. And for my publicly traded company that are dealing with marijuana, you got to be ready to adapt to the SEC. But we've always been ready to address those threats that we saw. This threat wasn't something that it was foreseeable, perhaps for some, and there'll be the soothsayers that said that they predicted this and they'll take credit for it. But the best thing I could tell any business right now is be ready to be agile. Be ready to adapt to the situation. Be ready to look for people to fill gaps where you weren't looking before. If you're a manufacturer, a CBD processor. If you were looking at buying your own farms and growing your own hemp, maybe it's time to look for the farmer that already perfected that process and forge some kind of joint venture or relationship or some kind of partnership. If you're in the business of distribution, don't try to build your own processing center. Try to forge a relationship with somebody that produces good products, regardless of what industry you're in. But don't try to reinvent your business from the ground up. Try to reinvent it with other people, with other businesses. There are opportunities out there. And the most important thing right now is to be agile, be ready for what comes next. And when it happens, don't be surprised, adjust and adapt and constantly focus on how to make that business work forward.
You know, you referenced some of the federal banking concerns and issues that are afoot. And recently we had Steve Shane on the Hoban Minute. He expressed his thoughts on the Safe Banking Act. I'd love to get your thoughts. What do you think the future holds for the Safe Banking Act? See how they differ from Steve's.
So I think the Safe Banking Act is definitely a step in the right direction. And I unfortunately haven't listened to Steve's podcast, so I hope I don't step on his toes on my comments here, but I think it's a step in the right direction. I don't think it's the solution to the problem. It's helpful, and it will help smaller financial institutions enter into the market space, but we are still a couple of years away from seeing any, in my mind, a couple of years away from seeing any real progress there, because even though you might get the Safe Banking Act passed, and it in essence gives some carte blanche type of approval for large national and international financial institutions to offer banking and depository services, it won't solve the problem because a lot of these institutions are publicly traded or are so valuable that they are still fearful of things like marijuana being on the Controlled Substances Act, the difficult to bank products. So as long as the marijuana stays on the CSA as a Schedule I drug, you're still going to have the challenge of finding adequate banking solutions. There are solutions out there, and there are some really innovative and pioneering companies out there that have done a tremendous job and are doing really well. And I think the Safe Banking Act is Congress's step in the right direction. We have a lot of work to go to make it fully bankable. And that unfortunately applies even beyond the marijuana industry and into the hemp industry, because banks still don't understand the Farm Bill, and they still don't understand the lawfulness of using hemp and hemp-derived products, and they're still fearful of that. So we have a lot of education, and once the banks wrap their head around the education, wrap their head around the ability to bank this product, we're going to still have a lot of time while the banks build their process. And that's going to be something that I would say will add at least a year, if not 18 months, beyond the passage of any law where a bank decides to jump into this world.
Well, I think one of the themes today has been that the people in this industry are good at waiting. And so it sounds like on that subject matter, and for the Safe Banking Act and probably other federal banking services, it will be a waiting game. But Donnie, you know, you bring this excellent perspective and a great opportunity for people to think about, you know, how this story is going to be told in the months and years to come, and how important it is to pick up the torch right now and not just you know, simply let it all go by and spend all your time watching Netflix or whatever it is. We thank you tremendously for coming on to the Hoban Minute and chatting with us, and can't wait to talk to you soon.
And thank you. And thank you for allowing me to include you and the Hoban Minute as part of my Corona story. So it was a pleasure to be honored. And thank you very much.
Thanks, Donnie. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Hoban Minute special series on coronavirus and cannabis. You can head on over to Hoban.law for more information on this podcast or the Hoban Law Group. If you have any ideas for subjects that we should be covering or any questions you want to pose to Bob or myself, shoot us an email at media@hoban.law. And stay tuned for the next episode on this special series, Coronavirus and Cannabis.